catch up with Mickey McGuan, though, because it's a big weekend across all three codes, and there's a lot of news about in footy, and there's some big games across the weekend. Hello, Mick.
G'day, Matt.
Hey, before we get stuck into the racing side of things, the Doggies got their season back on track last night with an important victory. It wasn't the most entertaining of games, but what did you make of their performance, and especially Jamar Ugle-Hagan, who was sensational?
Yeah, he was terrific, wasn't he? To slot back, go back and kick goals that mattered was just outstanding stuff for a young player to have the composure, considering the week he had, and to do well hitting the scoreboard, considering how much work players up the ground were doing for their team, Bontempelli, McRae with the Toure. I thought they were fantastic last night, and particularly Bont. Love seeing him play on the edge with a bit of venom in his game. Big game for the club, and the captain stood up, which was pleasing to see.
Is the Brisbane forward line an issue, Mick? Their tall forwards seem to go missing too often. Is that a fair comment?
No, it's an accurate comment. It's about trust, and can you consistently trust Danaher and Hipwood to get the job done? That's the big disclaimer about their forward line. It's very diverse, and Cameron and McCarthy, and if Rainer goes through there, Zorko goes through there. They've got some options to hit the scoreboard, but if the big blokes fail, they just fail to register, you know, a scoring tally close to 100 points, which generally wins you games of footy. Mm. But right now, for goal scoring accuracy, trust with your feet, there's always that element about, will Danaher kick this crucial goal? Will Hipwood go back and slot this one through? And right now, you'd probably say the answer to that question is no.
Yeah, they must be a frustrating club to support in recent years. They've been so good, but they just sometimes just can't quite seal the deal. So they're going to be an interesting watch throughout the season. I'll get your thoughts on the Collingwood-Richmond game in about 10 minutes' time, Mickey, but let's have a chat about the races this weekend. I love this card at Bendigo. I love this race day. It's an absolute belter. I know Matty Stewart's been banging on about it all week, but it is an absolute ripper. The Golden Mile's a great race, but it's the support card as well. The other races on the program that are equally as enticing.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's plenty of depth to the meeting, big fields. That's the challenge for the punters, to dissect what can win in the depth that the races have got. But my best bet of the day is coming out of the Golden Mile. Why not go to the best race in the card and try to find the winner? It's a $200,000 listed race over a mile. And the job that Nick Ryan's done to keep Munamek in this preparation for this length of time and still see upside in the horse is just incredible training performance. The way it's won its last couple of starts, it's been absolutely dominant. And let's face it, he's a seven-year-old gelding. He's won his last two in dominant fashion. Two ago, winning at Flemington in a benchmark 84, carrying 60 kilos, and then only 13 days ago, to the eye, was probably even better at Moonee Valley when he chased hard and won comfortably. Only goes up a half a kilo in this Golden Mile race, and beautiful draw, Demore to ride. I just think Munamek is clearly the horse to beat.
Yeah, Nick Ryan's got him going absolutely sensational at the moment, so he's going to be well supported there tomorrow, you would think, and there'll be a lot of punters on his back. Speaking of greyhounds, Mickey, gee, it's a really good night of greyhound action at Ballarat tonight. We've got heaps of the Ballarat Cup, and oh, I can't wait to see Rejuvenate in action. I'm going to catch up with his trainer, Paul Brown, a little bit later on in the program. He's been absolutely smashed in betting. He's into $1.28 at the moment. Have you got a thought there in any of the heats tonight? Do you think there's one that we should be investing in?
Oh, you'd be putting Rejuvenate in a multi. The only danger to it's probably Axelrod, but I think Rejuvenate, if he reproduces his track record run of two starts ago at Shepparton when he went a sizzling 24.59, that's unheard of. He'll win the first heat of the Ballarat Cup. I think the second heat, you'd probably have to look outside, look no further than 1, 4, and 8. That's Kelsey Bale. He's no slouch, and Paddy wants Pats with the scratching of number 7, Tinker Norm. That was probably a live chance considering where it drew. Race 5, which is the third Ballarat Cup heat, probably the chances are Quinlan Bale and Bernadette Boy out there in box 7. But I reckon number 2 might be a bit of a value play around the $12, Matt. Mm. That's Indy Fido. It's ran a 25.02 at Ballarat previously. Obviously, this is a different class race, but if it gets a bit of a saloon passage through, it'll be in the race, I reckon, at good odds. The fourth Cup heat, which is race 6 on the program, two-dog race. Unleash Kalinda, I think it'll get a dream run. It'll burst through and get the front off numbers 1 and 3. Number 3 will give it room to use its great mustering ability. If there's a dog that's really well backboxed tonight, is number 8, Jungle Panther. Perfect pinky. Probably just hasn't got the initial speed, but will wind up late and run down the middle of the track. If there's any drama up front, it'll be the one storming home. And in the last of the Ballarat Cup Feats, race 7 on the program, I think there's 3 live chances. I think 4 is the early leader, Electra Heckler, which we spoke about last week. Salwood Dodger, it's got a good chance drawn inside, even though it probably wants to be drawn off. But number 2 will give it a good shepherd and allow it to muster and get after Electra Heckler. And I reckon number 8 got some value if there happens to be a bit of a jam up. Number 8, Dusty Burpsey, drawn out there 8, given plenty of room for Tommy Daly. It'll be running on pretty strongly.
Yeah, there's some quality certainly in the heats tonight of the Ballarat Cup, considering there's terrific racing at Wentworth Park for the semi-finals of the Golden Easter Egg. They'd be pretty happy with the fields they've got there tonight at Ballarat. What about in the trots tonight, Mickey? Around the same time, the Ararat Pacing Cup. What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's a pretty low-key affair. Based on numbers, there's only 8 starters. I think it looks pretty obvious. Can't cop this out there in 7 for Kerrin Manning. She's in the sulky tonight. Won the Charlton Cup impressively. This is a flat track that Kerrin knows really well. She's driven a stack of winners at this track. It's a real leader's track, behind leader type scenario, because it's so flat and hard to make ground. But in the small field, I think can't cop this is the class horse of the race. Bulletproof Boy, number 8, the only possible danger that I can see. Number 6 just isn't up to can't cop this, I don't think. So I think can't cop this has got number 6's measure. The fresh blood against it is Bulletproof Boy, and it probably represents the only danger. Bit of speed, numbers 1 and 2, they'll get off the arm pretty well. I wouldn't be surprised if number 1, Julia Shadow, tries to hold the front. And from there, it could run a race at odds, but I just don't think it's got the class of can't cop this. I'm expecting the $1.65 favourite to Julie Salute. And in the Trotters Cup, race 6 on the program, did the same. One overall was absolutely flying, even though it took 20 metres. And historically, even though it's 25.70, on this flat track, it's hard to make ground, but the small field suits. Greg Sugars is absolutely fine. Gee, he's a good driver. He just knows when to take off and put his horse into the right spot at the right time. When the race heats up, he's always about the right area where he should be. And I think Victory Hill's the only possible danger. If there's one that represents value in the Trotters Cup race 6 on the program, it's Double Helix for Jackie Barker. He can hit the start from the stand start conditions and lead just to 25.70. Might see it out, and the better horses from the back row will probably round it up. It'll certainly run a race at odds. And the other one you can entertain off the front line is Bogart's On for Kerrin. It's around the $10 mark. It's going okay. Kerrin will suit the horse, and it'll run a pretty honest race at value for the exotics.
All right, we'll be following those tonight there at
Ararat. I think there's one today at Yarra Glen too for our
your beauty
partners that I reckon sort of found it off the trials in the view that race 5, number 6, Franco Novelist. It's around $2.45, $2.50. Mm-hmm. Now, on the 3rd of March, Total Forgive, Matt, last starter carried a flat tyre at Cranbourne in the Eastern Zone Challenge race. And since that run, it's trialled extremely well at Shepparton on the 23rd of March. That was last Thursday, a week ago. It started off the second row, got to the 1-1 position, came 3 wide, did the 1,000 to sit outside leader from the 900 and won the trial. But it was more about how it did it. Its last mile was 157.4, last half 56.3, last quarter 28.4 and did it really easily. The trial mile rate of 158.8, and to my eye, it looked a trial good enough to win this race. It's got good gauge speed, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if Alan Tormey zooms it straight to the front. And from that front position, it'll be very, very hard to beat.
Oh, we love that. So that's race 5 at Yarra Valley today. It goes at 3:13. Franco Novelist, 4-year-old, lightly raced. It's around $2.40 as we speak, so we love that. That's at Yarra Valley today. What about tonight, Mick? Your Pies take on the Richmond Footy Club. They've got a few injuries, the Tigers, but there's going to be a packed house there at the MCG. It's going to be an absolute blockbuster. Do you think Collingwood will be getting the chocolates?
I do, and it's more probably within regard to who's not playing for the Tigers. They're full big out, aren't they? Big names, Martin. He looks fit and healthy. He's going to get better as the season gets into its entirety. Hopper, new club, inside midfielder, against Collingwood, considering their clearance game is really good at the moment. He'll be big out, short, gives him plenty of rebound and possession, and even broad, that hybrid defender that can stop some of the goal-kicking threats that Collingwood possess. And I just love the way Collingwood are playing at the moment. Really spirited. They're really connected. They're playing good team footy. It's not about who kicks the goals, it's how we kick them. And I just think that's really evident to the eye in their speed across the ground with the fitness levels they've got. If they get hold of Richmond early, can't suggest that Tigers could get back into the game and Collingwood could do another thing like they've done the last 2 weeks, and that's kick 20 goals on average. If they kick 20 goals tonight, they'll win by 6 or 7 goals.
Yeah, it's a good game. Looking forward to it. What about Nick Dacos, Mick? Oh, I can't recall a player in their second year of footy playing at the level that he is. The only one that comes close in my sort of time is Clayton Oliver. Was, I think he was All-Australian in his second year, but what Nick Dacos is doing, do you think he could win the Brownlow?
Oh, absolutely, he can. You know, he's a terrific young player. He's a boat catcher, I reckon, because of how he runs when he's got the ball and his precision with his ball use. I hope umpires see the value that brings to a team. He's quick in everything he does, so he catches your eye because he's got so much energy. And he just gets the ball in good spots and runs and carries with the footy. So once again, it should be a player that attracts the eye of the umpire. And if he continually gets 30 to 35 possessions like he's done in the first two rounds, of course he's going to come under the notice of the umpires. I think it's a fair argument. Right now he should be sitting on anywhere between 5 and 6 votes. So it's a good start to the year. There's no doubt opposition clubs will clearly put more attention into him. I've always been a subscriber that every player, irrespective of who you are, is taggable. It's just a matter of who you go with. Port Adelaide started with the wrong player, I felt, last week. I was totally surprised they tried to put a defensive forward in Jones like they did on him, and then when he just controlled where he wanted to go, being that attacking halfback, I just reckon he didn't play it smart enough when Port Adelaide were going forward. You've got to have a very intelligent player knowing when to back shoulder engage or bumper barring, but then also try to extend the ground with getting good length, knowing that Nick can get caught in between trying to win a possession. So it's going to be a delicate act with what coaches do, but the way young Nick Dacos is playing right now, to answer your question, yes, he can win a Brownlow.
Yeah, that is going to be intriguing to see how coaches go about taking on Nick Dacos. I know if it was my club, I'd want someone standing next to him for the majority of the match because he's having an enormous impact at the moment. Are you having a bet in the footy this weekend, Mick? Do you think there's a game that represents a little bit of value? Is there one that you're keen to play in?
I reckon the Giants are a little bit of value. They're around the $2.50 against the Blues. Blues probably deserve favouritism, but we're talking specifically about value. A couple of good inclusions, which will help their cause. I would have learnt a lot from a structural standpoint against West Coast Eagles last week. Mentioned in a Daily Telegraph article about Toby Green's evolution as a captain. I'd love to see him, rather than waiting from the coach's box, just take it upon himself to go into the centre bound to change the dynamic, considering what was going wrong in that second quarter. Probably that was 10 minutes too late. But when you're a captain, I reckon, like James Hird, Paul Kelly, Michael Voss, Wayne Carey used to do in previous eras, take it upon themselves to change the momentum, and I reckon Toby Green's that type of player that can do it for the GWS. And I also reckon the way Sydney are playing, I'm a bit surprised they're $2.10 in the marketplace against the Demons without Max Gawn. I just love the way they're playing. They're a really honest team. They work both sides of the ball. Their offence is threatening, and they're very hard to play against when the opposition get the footy, and Melbourne will certainly know they'll have to use the ball going inside 50 because that's still an element of question mark when you come up into the discussion about how Melbourne used the ball going inside 50. So if they can't get it right with when in space, they'll certainly know that Sydney are playing against them because they try to take your space away and put pressure on the ball carrier. They'll have to master that entry.
Yeah, that's a really good game. I know they're undermanned at the moment, the Demons. They've got a bit of an injury list, but they wouldn't want to start their season 1 and 2, and I'm looking forward to that. It's in my favourite time slot, 3:20 on a Sunday afternoon. Sit back and watch the football. Hey, Mick, enjoy the weekend. So much footy and racing to enjoy. Look forward to hearing from you throughout the week next week on RSN.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having us.